this morning, please turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. We're going to look at one word. The word is trust. Trust. You know, I think this might catch you off guard. I don't mean to, but many people get saved without fully trusting God. Now, you say, is that even possible? Well, you need to understand that we are saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's imparting a gift to us, His gift of salvation specifically, because we put our faith in Him that He died upon a cross, shed His blood, and it was sufficient to pay the price for our sins. And so we trust Him as far as salvation is concerned. But I think if you are honest with yourselves, when you got saved, you didn't know the Lord well enough to trust Him with some other things. There's a lot of people that compartmentalize God, if you will. They'll trust Him with salvation, but they don't trust Him with their finances. They'll trust Him with spiritual things, but they don't trust Him to take care of their daily needs. And so I think it's very safe to say, and I've met a lot of people that are like that, where they struggle in certain areas in their life, and it just boils down to this: they're not trusting the Lord. And how many of you know and have experienced, I don't want you to raise your hand, but you know that there are times that have come in your life where something has come up and you've realized, I'm just not trusting the Lord like I should. I've not had full confidence in Him. And it happens to everybody. But it's important today, and I want to reinforce some things that you already know in your mind. To be saved, you have to have an initial trust, don't you? It's almost like getting married. You have to trust the person you're marrying, but you may not trust them fully with everything yet, until you've matured and grown and know them a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 talks about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The day you got saved, were you able to move mountains? The Bible says that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be removed. Do we have that kind of faith in God? Are we trusting God in that way? And so our faith, in fact, does grow. And enabled to trust God with all things, we must grow a little bit. We often say that we are to put our trust in Christ, but it's not a complete trust. We haven't done it 100%. And it's truly sad in a sense, because we miss out on God's very best when we don't trust Him with all things. The Bible says this: we are to cast all our cares upon Him. That's complete and total trust in who God is. I'm not going to get into all these details today, but I'll say this: you can not only trust God, but you can trust in the character of God. And what I mean by that is that you can trust God to behave the exact same way every single time and every single instance. What God did yesterday, He will do tomorrow. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can trust in His character. We can trust in His omnipotence. He's all-powerful. He knows, He can take care of any situation. There's no problem that is too big for God. I appreciate the song we just heard, How Big Is God? Can anybody here answer that question? How big and wide His vast domain? To try to tell, these lips could only start. How could we ever say how big and how powerful our God is? I was listening, I think it was Mrs. Baker last week in choir practice, and she was trying to get us excited. And was it you that was talking about the universes, how big they are and how expanding they are? And she was saying you could just fly in one direction for a million years and never get to the end of the universes that God has created. God made all that. That's how big God is, how powerful. You can trust in His omnipotence. You can trust in His omniscience. That means He knows everything. There's nothing. I told you this. I giggle every time when I read through my Bible and I get to that portion of the Scripture where it says they arose up early in the morning to take Jesus by craft. How early in the morning do you have to get up to sneak up on Jesus? I kick my feet up in the air and I giggle when I read that. These Pharisees were foolish to think that we know more than God. Sometimes we act like we do. Have you ever told God the answer to your prayer requests? Sure you have. God, I've got a financial problem right now, but I think if you would give me $300, it would solve it. And God's in heaven thinking, well, I wanted to give you $1,000, but if all you want is $3. We tell God the answers to our prayers, don't we? Why not just give God the problem? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. We can trust in that. God is everywhere. And because He's everywhere, He can keep His promises like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We don't need to worry about ever getting into a dark, deep corner and saying, well, where's God? He's everywhere. And we can find Him at a moment's notice. So I want to talk about the word trust a little bit today. Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, there's so many secrets out there today. I don't know if you've done this recently. I remember we were looking for something specifically, some sort of face wash or something for one of the kids. I don't know. And we were in this thing in the States. You can't buy it in Canada. We were looking for it in the States. And we were walking down this aisle. Do you know how many skin creams and things there are to make women look younger? You know? And men too, by the way. There's stuff there for men too. There's stuff that says it's utterly something. And it's got a picture of a cow. And I thought, that is not very flattering at all. Put this cow cream on and you'll look better. I don't get... There's stuff... you can take the stuff that you take a drop every day. It's good for your heart. And you can take this other stuff and it reduces the cellulite. And I tell you, if I got rid of cellulite, I wouldn't have anything left. And it's just all these things. And they're all trying to make you live longer and look younger. Do you know what the Bible says? Verses 1 and 2 say, obey my commandments that you might have long life. Just obey God. Now you say, well, I'll do that. But you know that if you'll read your Bible, there's all kinds of health tips in there as well. If you obey God and read His Word, there's all kinds of things in there that will help you preserve a long life. I particularly like the ones that say, children, obey your parents, that your days may be long. How do you like that one? Hey, I like that. And so read your Bible, obey God's Word. Verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And you say, well, I don't know if that'll work. You got to trust it. You see what I'm saying? We need to trust God that His Word is true and believe what He says. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. How? With all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand Your Word and speak to our hearts today. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would build within us a desire to fully, 100% trust You with all things. Father, there should not be a thing that comes up in our day that we cannot say, well, God will take care of that. I'm going to trust the Lord with that. I'm going to depend upon my Creator, who is wiser, who is more powerful. He's everywhere, and He can know my heart and know the solution to this problem and deal with it in ways far beyond my imagination. So, God, Lord, help our unbelief today. Teach us to trust in Thee. And, Lord, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Direct your attention back to verse 5. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you know it was very rare in the Old Testament for them to say, all thine heart. In the Old Testament, they would use the word bowels a lot, wouldn't they? And I don't know how they wrote love songs, but they talked about loving somebody from the bowels. You wouldn't see that on Hallmark today. But when somebody used the phrase heart, they reserve that for something very unique and special. You compare and you read through the Bible and mark it every time. You'll see they'll talk about how somebody had an earnest desire. And they'll talk about they ached from their bowels. And it's talking about the inner being, the inner person. But the word heart is reserved for when something is very special, very unique, when God is trying to get your attention. And so when He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, this is a step above everything else. This is God taking a highlighter pen and marking it in your Bible for you. This is God saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We see it in other places of scriptures. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, only serve the Lord with all thine hearts. For consider how great things He hath done for you. So God wants us not only to trust Him with all our heart, but to serve Him with all our heart. And the Bible also says we are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And so we are to, there's some things that God has highlighted for us, and to trust Him is one of them. God wants us to have full and complete reliance upon Him. You know, sometimes I think we approach salvation like we're purchasing fire insurance for our homes, don't we? Well, I'll get this just in case I die. I'll make sure that I've trusted Jesus Christ, that if I die, I can go to heaven. But we don't do anything else in the meantime to assure that we are walking with God and receiving His richest blessing. Now, I hope that's not the case with most of you. I hope that most of you are doing your very best to walk with Jesus Christ day by day, that you are putting a daily trust in Him. But it's my experience that even the most experienced Christians, the most that have the most maturity, they let down from time to time. We make mistakes. We forget who God really is. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And here's the contrast, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. In other words, don't try to answer your own prayers. Abraham did that, didn't he? God had given him a promise that out of his seed would come a great nation, and so many would spring forth from him that even the stars of the sky would fail in comparison if you tried to number them. But Abraham got to be 90 years old and getting up there in age, and his wife was very old and she was barren. And so he went to his wife's slave, her servant, and took her and had a child with her, Ishmael. It was not God's plan. God says, I can do this. And Abraham says, I don't know if I can trust you. There must be some way. This must be God's plan. God said we can have a child. My wife, she is barren. And so there must be something I must do. And so he took another woman and had a child. He failed to trust God. But it was that same Abraham that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith he sojourned in a land. By faith, when he was called of God, he left Ur of the Chaldees. And by faith, he didn't know where they were going, yet he trusted God. Here was a man that is listed, if you will, in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. And yet, at one point in his life, he didn't trust God fully. We all have our letdowns. We all have our struggles. But friends, let me share with you this morning why I believe with all our hearts we can trust God. First of all, let me define the word trust for you if I could this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's four different words in the New Testament that we find that are defined differently, but they're the same word that means the word trust. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we find the first. In verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. You'll recall the time that Paul is going through, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, of the time that we were in Asia. We were in a lot of trouble. It was pressing us to the point where we were nearly despairing even of life. And he says, but because we did not trust in ourselves, but in God, we had hope. The word trust there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it means the assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth of someone or something. Let me read that definition again. It is the assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, the truth of someone or something. In other words, Paul is saying, I am completely 100% trusting in God. I'm relying on His character. He is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't have to ever worry that God's going to get upset with me for obeying His Word. You know, we've done that, haven't we? Have you ever done that? You ever got mad at your kids about something you told them was okay and forgot? You ever done that? Or maybe you gave them permission and they didn't do it exactly like you thought it should be done, and so you got upset. I remember one time my dad got upset with me, and I was getting some Coke out of the trunk of the car for my mom, and there was two cases, and you remember the old flats of Coke they used to get, the 24 cases, and I had them stacked too high, and I was carrying, and I set it on the bumper of the trunk, and I went to close the trunk, and I bent the trunk right up, the back corner of it, and dad liked his cars, and so I went and said, Dad, I told him, and boy, he wasn't very happy with me, but about a half hour later, he came and he apologized. He says, son, we've always taught you that if you come and tell us the truth about something, we wouldn't be upset. He says, I'm sorry I got so upset. You see, God doesn't make those mistakes. He never gets upset and then corrects Himself. He may be righteously angry with us for something that we did wrong because we broke His Word. But if God, we can trust in His character. He's not going to change. He's not going to be. We never have to say, well, I wonder how God's going to react when I tell Him this. We don't have to worry about that. We can trust in His character. And that's what Paul was saying. He says, I was despairing even of life, and we just wish we could die. But if we had trusted ourselves, boy, we'd be a mess. But we're trusting in God because we can trust His. We know how He's going to react to all this. So the word trust means to rely upon the character, but it also means on the ability. In other words, Paul is saying, I know that He's able. He can take care of this. So I'm going to trust in His character. I'm going to trust in His ability. I'm going to trust in His strength. Not only is He able, but He's actually strong enough to carry it out. He has the physical ability to take care of all of my needs. And finally, the truth of someone. Isn't it good to be able to rely upon somebody's word? He says, we believe God. God sent us here. God's going to take care of us. So the word trust means to rely on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We see another instance in the Word of God where we see another definition, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. We sing this song. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Now, we don't see the word trust there, do we? But we do see a word that is coming from the exact same Greek word for trust. It's the word persuaded. Paul says, I've been persuaded. I trust it. I believe it wholeheartedly. I'm persuaded in my heart. You're not going to change my mind. This is not the same word as I'm being persuaded. He says, I am persuaded. In other words, I've already been convinced. You're not going to change my mind. The time for changing my mind is when I was being persuaded. But now I am persuaded. I have a confidence. I am trusting in God. So Paul, again, you'll notice at the beginning of the verse, for the which cause I also suffer. Isn't it interesting that the time of our trust in God is called into question when we are suffering? In 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see that Paul was suffering. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, for the which cause I also suffer. And he says, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able. That word persuaded literally means to listen to yield to, then comply with. Now think about that. A lot of us listen, but we're not persuaded. A lot of us listen, but we don't yield. Some of us even listen and we yield, but we don't comply. Now that happens in a lot of walks of life, doesn't it? Somebody comes along, he tries to give us some instructions, so we listen to them and we give them the respect that they deserve, and we might even yield to them, and we don't talk about it with anybody else. We don't try to persuade anybody any differently, but we leave the room and think, I'm not going to do that because I don't trust them. But Paul says, I'm fully persuaded that He is able. I can listen to His Word and I'm going to yield to His Word, and then I'm going to comply with His Word. I'm going to obey His Word and let it work in my life. You see, to fully trust God is to be persuaded of some things. And to be persuaded of some things are the things that God has signed by. So then we need to persuade that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul never said, I'm going to try to keep my salvation. That's God's job. You see, the Calvinist group, that ones that will talk about this Reformed theology, and there's a lot of churches out there that teach it, they say, well, we will persevere unto the end. Listen, friends, if it's up to me to persevere, I'm not going to make it. Now, I believe I can be preserved to the end by God, because I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But that's the kind of trust we need to have. The problem with persevering to the end is we're trusting in ourselves. I'm going to keep the law. I'm going to keep the commandments. God's going to help me, but I'm going to do everything I need to do that when God comes again, I'll be ready. Friends, you just won't make it. We're just sinners. We're just flesh. But if you'll trust in God like Paul did, I'm persuaded He is able. He'll keep me. He'll take care of me. Paul was sharing with Timothy that he had been convinced of some things. Romans chapter 8, Paul uses the word again. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, my friends, here's what I'm trying to impress upon your heart with this definition today. If you say I am truly trusting God, then God should have persuaded your heart of some things. You ought to have some convictions. You ought to say this is right because God says it's right, and this is wrong because God says it's wrong. And when trials come in your life, you ought to be persuaded that God is able to take care of them. That ought to be some convictions formed in your life. Turn to another, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just back a few pages. Here's another word. You won't see the word trust, but another word that comes from the same Greek word. In verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, Paul reminds them, first of all, some things in verse 3. He says, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, and we have confidence in the Lord. The word we're looking at here is the word confidence. It means a faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. Faith that somebody will act in a right, proper, effective way. I try, to the most part, to trust my staff like this, and somebody will come to me and say, Pastor, we got this problem. How do you want me to deal with it? And a lot of times I'll say to them, I trust you. Well, I know you trust me, but how should I deal? What I'm saying is I have confidence in you that you'll make the right decision. I think you'll do the right thing. I know your character. I know your love for God. I know that you're praying about this. I know that you're closer to the situation than I am. And so I am trusting you. I have confidence in you that you'll make the right decision. Now, sometimes they come with a real heart problem and we'll both stare at each other and go, I don't know. Let's pray about that. But we try to trust those, don't we? You go to your doctor, you would hope that you'd have confidence. If you don't have confidence in your doctor, you've got the wrong doctor. Am I right? I mean, well, we're going to root around in there with a stick and see what we find. That's not going to build any confidence. You want to have confidence. And so that's what the word confidence means. It's a faith or belief that one will act in a right, a proper, or effective way. And so when we're talking about God, we need to have confidence in Him that He's always going to do right. He's never going to do wrong. He's never going to steer you down the wrong path. He's never going to leave you alone. He's never going to leave you without hope. We can have confidence that God, that He's going to take care of. We have confidence. He said, well, what are you trusting in? What do you think the outcome might be? I don't know. I'm just trusting in the Lord. I have confidence that He is always right. I have confidence that He is never wrong. That's to have confidence in the Lord. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, says this, being confident, the same word again, of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Are you confident in the Lord today? Let me say this. When you have a problem and you refuse to pray about it, you don't have confidence in the Lord. You say, well, sometimes we forget. If you truly had confidence in the Lord, that's the first place you would turn. That's the first person you would go to. That's who you'd want to talk to right away. But sometimes things have to get real scary to get our attention, don't they? We say, God, all the big things. All the things that we say, God, I can't handle this myself. God wants you to be confident in all things. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, there's one more I want you to look at. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to have to get moving here. This is just the first point of the message. But we'll... There's only 12, don't worry. Galatians chapter 3. The others will move quickly. I think sometimes, quite frankly, I think sometimes it's more important that we just understand what God means by a word than trying to explain it. If we understand what trust is, it'll help us. What God is desiring, what God is looking for. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. This is a strange one to me when I found it. But it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? Did you see it there? The word is obey. That's interesting, isn't it? I would have never thought that God would equate the word obey with the word trust. We can understand maybe the word trust. We can understand the word persuaded. We can understand what confidence is, that you have to trust something to have confidence in it. But the word obey, you know, if you don't trust something, you won't obey it. This word obey literally means to conform or comply with. This form of the word obey does not necessarily mean that we should blindly follow. It means simply because of who God is, and because God has proven Himself, and because His word has never, ever, even once let us down or failed us, we can confidently obey it. And we can obey God. The word obey shows that you're trusting God. You ever stood your kid on the side of a pool and said, jump, I'll catch you? You ever done that? We all do that, don't we? Dad's always, I don't know why we think that's fun, but we do. See the fear in their eyes, and I don't know. But I remember our kids standing them up there and saying, okay, jump, I'll catch you. Man, they didn't obey every time, not the first time especially. Not until they'd done it a couple times. And you see the fear in their eyes, they jump, and you can almost see as they get about a foot off that edge, uh-oh, what have I done? Is Dad going to catch me? Am I going to get under the water? I don't want to get my hair wet. And they just have that fear. They don't obey. But friends, with the Lord, you can just leap. If the Lord says, jump, jump. That's the kind of confidence and trust He wants us to have, that we just readily obey. That we'll believe Him. He has a proven track record. You know, sometimes we're pretty hard on Adam and Eve, aren't we? But they didn't have much of a track record. Think about it. God said, don't touch of the tree. They didn't know all that God had done, that we know. They didn't have the Bible. They couldn't see the history of miracles. All they know is that they woke up one day in a garden, were told to name some animals. And they missed God's mark. You know, it's much more shameful when we don't obey God and we have all the proof. We have thousands of years of history that says God has always done right. God has always work things out to His glory. And so we must obey. The Bible uses the word again in Hebrews when it says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. God has placed authorities in our lives, and we're to obey them because God says so. And you say, well, I don't know if I can obey the prime minister because he's going down a wrong path. You can pray for him. You can respect him. You can love him. You can uphold him. And friends, we're to obey when he gives us the laws because God has placed him there. And God makes no mistakes. So the word obey means we are able to trust the Lord. That's the definition of trust. To be persuaded, to have confidence in, to be able to conform or comply with because we are obeying Him. And then I want to give you a second thing, the desire of trust. We've talked about the definition of trust, but what about the desire of trust? I think it's safe to say that everybody wants to be able to trust in something. You ever said to somebody, I wish I could trust you? or you've referred to something. Maybe you're talking, we've got this election coming up, don't we? And you're thinking in your mind, I just wish I knew which guy I could trust. I wish I knew which one is best for our country. I think we have a genuine desire to be able to trust in something. And if we're children of God, we want to be able to trust in God, don't we? And so we need to desire that trust, and we need to understand that that's what God desires in our life as well. Mark chapter 9, turn there if you will this morning. I want you to see that you're not alone. If you say, well, Pastor, I really want to trust the Lord. I wish I could just let go and let God, as it says on the bumper stickers. I wish I could just put my total faith 100% in Him, but I'm just flesh, I'm just weak, it's hard. Look what happened in the life of the disciples. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. The disciples lacked in their trust of God too, didn't they? God had empowered them and He told them, you can cast out demons, they're subject to my name. And yet the disciples could not. And Christ's only rebuke of, He never said, well, they're powerless, you're talking to the wrong fellas. He should have brought them to me first. He never said that. He said, oh, faithless generation. Verse 20, when they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Here's the only time in the Word of God that we see somebody slain in the spirit. If you're prone to charismatic stuff, there you go. And oft-time, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That ought to be the prayer of your heart today. Later on, the Bible says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciple asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What was he saying to the disciples? You don't have enough faith. You guys think you can walk around and just say rebuke devils, but you need to do some praying. You need to do some fasting. You need to pray like the Father did. He says, Lord, help my unbelief. He said, I desire to trust the Lord. I want to put my faith in Him 100%. And when the trials come, I want to be able to keep a smile and say, I am trusting in God. How can I do it? Try some praying and fasting. Speak honestly to the Lord and say, He said, well, I say all the right things and I say I'm trusting the Lord. The Lord knows your heart. Why not tell the Lord, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Help my unbelief. Help me to trust in You. If you desire to trust God today, behave like the Father. Can you imagine what would have happened if Dad had gone to the disciples and the disciples could do nothing and he went home discouraged? But he said, no, I'm going to press on. These disciples might not have it, but I'm trusting in the Lord. And so he went to the Lord Jesus Christ, and even in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. If there's anything that's in any part of my soul, any recess of my heart that is not believing, God, find it and help me. I want to believe. You see, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to rely on the Lord. You don't have to have the kind of faith that walks on water. We're flesh, we're blood, we're weak. But you need to recognize it and give it to God. So God, help my unbelief. Grow me. Pray, fast, trust the Lord. I want you to notice what unbelief will do. In Mark 13, verse 58, says He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'll just read a bunch for you. Mark 6, 6 says, and He marveled because of their unbelief. Mark 6, and by the way, if God's going to marvel, I don't want Him marveling because of my lack of faith. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and He upbraided them with their unbelief. Romans 11, 20 says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Hebrews 3, 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. God calls it an evil heart. That's not trusting in Him. Hebrews 3, 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Listen, I don't believe there's anybody in this room that desires to miss out on God's best because of a lack of trust. See, so what do I do? Pray and ask God for help. Help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me to grow that I can trust in You. And then we see the development of trust. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8 says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know, I believe trusting God is almost like anything else in life. We grow into it. Miss Britton, did you have the same faith now that you had 50 years ago? Has it grown a little bit? Have you seen some things on the mission field that increased your faith? It's amazing how God does that. But you know, you need to trust God with some small things and let Him increase your faith. Let Him build your life. The Bible just says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Have you ever been asked to taste something? Last night, we had for dinner, Mr. Pankhurst? Where's Mr. Pankhurst? He's ushering? Oh, he's in junior church. You brought us that rabbit pie. Did you have a part in that? No? Did you skin the rabbit? No. Did he shoot that rabbit? Oh, no, he didn't. Okay. I don't know where the buckshot came from then, but no, it was good. Mr. Pankhurst made us a rabbit pie. Now, that doesn't sound, I don't know, just because of our culture, we're not used to it. It was fantastic. I've never eaten anything like that. It was good. And our kids liked it. Brendan got a second piece of it. It was good stuff. But I saw everybody pick up their fork and think, I'm just going to taste this first. And they just took a little piece. But then as soon as they got that little piece, it was like gone in an instant, you know. But when we taste something, we normally just take a little, don't we? Just a little bit. Just a little sip. Try this half latte, cappuccino, mocha. Give me a coffee, all right? What? They got all these fancy things and you walk in and they're trying to... You ever gone to President's Choice on a Saturday and they're giving you all the little samples? We take our kids there for lunch every week. It's like a buffet. But you get the little, and they give you that little mini cup. Well, I don't even know how you can taste it, but they give you that little mini cup. It's just a sample. It's to desire you to want more. I'm just going to give you a little bit so you can pay the $39.99 for the box. God says, just taste a little bit. If you're new in Christ today, try Him. Taste and see that He's good. Give Him something and see if He's not faithful. And I promise you, you'll desire more. It'll grow your faith. It'll develop your faith. It'll help you. He said, well, where do I start? There's so many things. He said, well, I don't know if I can trust the Lord with my tithe. Give Him a little. God is a debtor to no man. You can't outgive God. Try it. Try it for a period of time. He said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust the Lord with my time. I want to come to church more. Try it. See what the Lord will do in your life. See if God will bless you. Trust the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And then do this. Remind yourself daily of the character of God. By the way, who is it that you're trusting? He said, well, I've been burnt before, preacher. You don't understand. I've trusted people before and I've just got my heart broken. This is God. This is not people. His character is perfect. His strength is perfect. His abilities are perfect. His knowledge is perfect. His wisdom is perfect. You're not trusting in some man. You're not trusting in a salesman or some shyster. You're trusting in God. Remind yourself of His character. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Numbers chapter 23 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" This is God we're talking about. You can trust Him. And what is the design of trust? The design of trust is that you'll have a little peace in your life. You know, God desires that you can rest in Him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you know what my experience is? Nobody will ever come unto Him unless they first trust Him. You won't bring your problems to the altar unless you know you can trust the Lord. You're not going to pour your heart out to God if you're not willing to trust Him. Trust Him today. Give Him all your problems. Cast all your cares upon Him. Our text this morning that I opened with was Proverbs chapter 3. You can turn back there if you like. Proverbs chapter 3. It's a famous verse. You probably got a plaque on your wall somewhere with this verse on it. A lot of people do. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him," and here's the benefit, "He shall direct thy paths." Just trust Him. Trust in His character. Trust in who He is. We talked this morning about the definition of trust. What does it mean to truly trust God? It means that you are persuaded of some things. It means that you have confidence in Him. It means that you'll obey Him. You say, "Well, I desire to have that kind of trust." Then pray for it. Increase your faith. How do I develop that trust? Taste and see. Try Him out. God will be faithful. And you say, "Well, why should I do all that?" Because God wants you to be able to rest in Him. You see, there's a perfect rest for those that have a confidence in Christ. I'm wondering today, maybe there's somebody here, say, "Preacher, I just don't have any rest in my life. I have no peace in my life." Are you trusting the Lord? Well, we say we are. No, do you really have a confidence in Him? Are you persuaded that He is able? Are you giving Him the glory because He is the only one that's actually doing the work in your life, not you? But when we work in the flesh, we're never going to have rest. Because you're always going to have to keep working and keep wondering, "Am I doing enough?" Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Let's pray. Father, help us understand and speak to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Maybe there's some here today that are struggling and trusting God with certain things in their lives. Father, maybe today be that test that we talked about. Maybe today they could just turn something over to You and find out that You are good. So, Father, I pray that You challenge our hearts today, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. God has spoke to your heart. These altars open even now. Would you step out and come?